Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, at Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of the king is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Father, Jesus' name, come before you now, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, bless me now, Lord God, this evening, Lord God. Fill them out, Lord God, your word, Lord God, with what you would have to be said. Light of your word, Lord God. Pray, Lord God, help us, dear God. Rightly divide your word, study your word, show ourselves the truth. Unto you, the living God, a workman that he is not to be ashamed, rightly divide the word of truth. It's in Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray these things and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Open up the first. Samuel chapter 3, read the whole chapter here. Child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And Aaron the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. I would just remark here, and I would just ask the question. When the Lord calls you and I, are we quick to respond as Samuel? Lord, here am I. Verse 5, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Lie down again, he went and lay down. Just add here at this point, just to say, just because others do not perceive the Lord is called does not mean he is not called. The Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel rose to Eli, said, here am I, for thou didst call. He answered, I called not, my son, lie down. Again, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, said, here am I. Now that it's called, Eli perceived the Lord had called the child. Verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down. It shall be, if he shall call, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. I'm reminded here of the patience and the long-suffering of the Lord and how he continued.
Amen.
And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, of which both the ears, every one that heareth it, shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. When God starts, he finishes.
Amen.
For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, he restrained them not.
Yep.
We're going to talk. son left to himself, bringeth his mother to shame, and indeed brings his father to shame as well. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. I'll just mention here that indeed it is a fearful thing. Fallen in the hands of the living God, Eli's house had fallen into the hands of the living God. God declared his judgment upon Eli's house. And Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, of all the things that he said unto thee. Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him, and he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. He did let none of his words fall to the ground. I consider verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Reminded of who art thou that replies against God. Reminded of how, when the word of a king is, there is power. He may say unto him, what doest thou?
Yeah.
Then revealed to Eli, by Samuel, what king of heaven and earth is going to do. So Eli replied, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good.
Yeah.
He grew, and the Lord was with him. Did let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel was not loose in his speech. Samuel was very sober. He was very mindful. His thoughts and what came out of his mouth. Are we sober? Are we vigilant? Are we very mindful of the things that come out of our mouth? When all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Did let none of his words fall to the ground. Turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Read down here through verses 1 through 8. And I'm actually going to go ahead and I'm actually going to have a word of prayer here in the middle, as we go through this message here. I would encourage you to agree with me as I pray. Verses 1 through 8. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They shall soon be cut down like the grass, whether it's the green earth. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Like thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself at any wise to do evil. So that I myself doing. But it's been a great help to me. And I would encourage you to do the same. Is start praying. These verses over yourself, over your family, over the body of Christ. Each day. Ever since I started praying these verses over myself, over the body of Christ, found by God's grace, the power of the Spirit, myself all the more, ceasing from anger and forsaking wrath, and fretting not myself, any wise, do evil. Find myself, fretting not myself, because the evildoers need to be at envious against the workers of iniquity. So, sure, even as we would have the word to increase our faith, trusting all the more in Him, doing good as they that should dwell in the land and verily should be fed, delighting ourselves also in Him, committing our way unto Him. I'm going to go and pray now here before we continue on. Father, Jesus' name, come before you, Lord God, and I pray. Help us, Lord God, as believers in Jesus Christ, to fret not ourselves because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, remembering that they shall soon be cut down like the grass and as the green herb. Help us to trust all the more in you, Lord God. Do good as they that shall dwell in the land and barely shall be fed. Pray, may we delight ourselves also in you, Lord God. Give you thanks, Lord God, that you shall give us the desires of our heart. May we commit our way all the more unto you, Lord God, trusting also in you. Give me thanks, dear God, that you shall bring it to pass. Even so, Lord God, I thank you that you shall bring forth our righteousness and the light and our judgment as the doom day. Even so, Lord God, may we rest in you and wait patiently for you. Fretting not ourselves because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. May we cease from anger, forsake wrath, fretting not ourselves in any wise, do evil. For it's in Jesus' name I pray these things and give thanks. Amen. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. There's much in the way of evildoers over which we can fret ourselves and find ourselves in such a way that we're not sober in our speech, and we're not like Samuel, and that we let none of our words drop to the ground. So in the midst of fretting, we often find ourselves saying things that we regret. Turn to Psalm 64. Psalm 64. Read old Psalm verses 1-10. Hear my voice, O God, if my prayer preserve my life from fear of the enemy. I'll just make note here that Samuel, in the context of 1 Samuel chapter 3, as we read, we saw how Samuel heard the voice of God. He was very sensitive to the voice of God. If you and I would have God to hear us, least that we ought to do is be sensitive to his voice.
Amen.
Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. hide me from the secret council of the wicked insurrection for the work of iniquity. Wet their tongue like a sword to bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. They may shoot the secret of the perfect. So do they shoot him? Fear not. Consider the arrows of bitter words. By that about the power of life and death are in the tongue, and they that love it shall be the fruit thereof. All the more why we should be like Samuel, and being like Samuel, be like Christ, and let none of our words fall to the ground. At the same time, ask the Lord, guard us from the arrows of bitter words. And yet, according to Psalm 91, he that dwelt in the place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So, let's not be fearful of man's words. For even as the fear of man bringeth the snare, so the fear of man's words also bringeth a snare. Psalm 64:4, that they may shoot in secret the perfect. So that they shoot him and fear not. They encourage themselves in evil matter, they commune of blame, snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities, they accomplish diligence and search. But the inward thought of every one of them in the heart is deep. God shall shoot at them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded. Now I would pose a question here. What is God's arrow? God's arrow is none other than his word.
Yeah, man.
And they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves, and all see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear to declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. Righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. Yeah, take a moment here. I would offer a prayer to God and ask you to agree. Hear our voice, O God, in our prayer, preserve my life, fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows, shoot their arrows, even bitter words.
Yes.
Then they shoot the secret of the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot him, fear not. They encourage themselves in evil matter. The community of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? Yet, Lord God, we know that the eyes see the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. They search out iniquities, they accomplish those that search. But the inward thought of every one of them in the heart is deep. But, Lord God, we ask you to shoot them with an arrow. Suddenly let them be wounded. They grow the tongue to fall upon themselves, let all the see them flee away. We pray for all men to fear and to declare the work of the living God to wisely consider your doing. But for the righteous to be all the more glad in you, Lord, to trust all the more in you. With the upright in heart to all the more glory in you. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Yeah, man.
Turn over to the book of James. Book of James. Here in the book of James, we're going to look here at chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And when I think of many masters, I think of Masters, I think of the greater condemnation, Samuel. Let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel, who was very mindful of what came forth from his heart, out of his mouth, by way of his tongue. He was the last of the judges. So, Samuel was a master his own way. Verse 2, for many things we offend all. Any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, it will also bridle the whole body.
Yep.
Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us. They turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, so they be so great, are driven of fierce winds. You know, they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor list. Even so the tongue is a little member, most great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. But it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast, and of birds, and serpents, and of things in the sea, Satan hath pertained to mankind. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith blessed we God, even the Father, therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not so to be.
Amen.
Though the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter, and the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, neither are vine figs, so can no fountain. Both yield salt water and fresh. So in this matter of the tongue, there are no gray issues. It is black, it is white. We must choose daily whom we are going to submit our tongue. As we sang earlier, I surrender all. Off being my blessed Savior, I surrender. So we need to surrender our tongues as well to the Savior daily. So, in conclusion, I'll just have us close with a prayer. And having this word of prayer, I pray you would agree with me that we would be like Samuel, and in being like Samuel, be like Christ, and let none of our words fall to the ground. If anyone ever accuses you of being sober, albeit somber, of being beside yourself, take heart. I'm sure Samuel was accused of being somber and being beside himself a lot, because safe to say, Samuel, the kind of guy, he didn't speak unless he had to. And if something was not worth saying, Samuel didn't say it. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord God, be all the more like Samuel, and being all the more like Samuel, be like Christ. Let none of our words fall to the ground. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to tame our tongues daily, Lord God, confessing, Lord God, that we have not power in and of ourselves to tame our tongues, Lord God. We need you, dear Lord God, in all things, Lord God. May we daily, Lord God, as believers, may we daily as Christians submit our tongues, Lord God, to you, Lord God, even as we would submit every member of our body. Tongue be no exception. Father God, we ask you, Lord God, that you would, Lord God, be glorified. That you would be magnified, Lord God, through the members of our body. And all that we say, all that we do daily. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks.
The word of God declares that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Word of God declares, the first of the Ten Commandments. Who, what is your God this day, sinner? The Word of God declares, first and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. You have failed. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have you always done unto others as you would do or have done unto you? No. You've not always done unto others as you would have them do unto you. Nor have you always loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You must be born again. For it is written, but God commendeth his love toward us. Well, thank God for the good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. For the wages of sin is death. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall depart in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ah, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive his gift by faith today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God manifest in the flesh, he rose from the dead. He's coming again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word of God declares in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Things have passed away. All things have become new. I know what it means, by the grace of God, to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things having passed away, and all things having become new. Do you know what that is? Dear listener, do you know what it means to be made a new creature in Christ? Old things having passed away, and all things becoming new. Do you have your own personal testimony of salvation, of transformation for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about mere outward reformation, whereby you just decided to flip the religious coin, so to speak, to get religious outside, but no change of heart on the inside. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm talking about that operation of God which is inward. It involves that invisible circumcision. I mean, that invisible mark of God upon your soul. If not, you desire that. Your old now is except the time that is the day of salvation. If you don't desire that, well, you best desire it, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And he is your only hope of escaping the wages of your sin, which is death. And why would you not want to know your Creator, who so loved you that he gave of himself in giving his only begotten Son to die for your sins and to rise from the dead the third day? That if you only believe in him, you should not perish but have everlasting life. That if you only believe in him, Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and men, you will be reconciled to him as your Creator forevermore. Sin to no more come between you and separate you. Yes, that's the security that is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God declares in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For all of sin come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 tells us. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fear and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and homeowners, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars from their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But dear listener, you know, you as a sinner, are summed up in that very verse of scripture right there. You're in that verse of scripture. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The judgment, the sentence upon you, by way, the fall of man, has already been pronounced. Revelation 5:12 declares, wherefore is by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For as by one man's disobedience, speaking of Adam, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, speaking of Jesus Christ, and his obedience in dying for your sins upon the cross, and the sins of the whole world, by the obedience of one shall many be justified. It's not your obedience that justifies you. It's the obedience of Christ. Your faith must be in him alone. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5:7 declares, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And verse 11 of Romans 5, and not only so, but we also joy in God through Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atonement, payment, payment for sin has been made. Dear listener, you must just acknowledge that as Jesus Christ himself confessed before he gave up the ghost to breathe his last breath, it is finished. There's no adding, there's no taking away from the finished work of Jesus Christ. Anyone who tries to add, anyone who tries to take away from that finished work is damned. How can you escape the damnation of hell? How can you be made a new creature? It's only in and through God's Son, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So call upon him. Repent ye and believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and receive him today as your personal Lord and Savior, and you will be made a new creature in Christ. Old things will indeed pass away, all things will become new, and nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. For it is written, Romans chapter 8, verses 34 through 39, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him alone, and thou shalt be saved. And that right there that I just read from Romans 8 shall be true of you, dear listener. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus as your walk with the eternal God will have just begun. Nothing will separate you from him ever again. For if God declares that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The word of God declares, the first of the Ten Commandments. Who, what is your God this day, sinner? The word of God declares, first and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. You have failed For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have you always done unto others as you would do or have done unto you? No. You've not always done unto others as you would have them do unto you. Nor have you always loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You must be born again. For it is written, but God commendeth his love toward us. Well, thank God for the good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. For the wages of sin is death. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ah, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive his gift by faith today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God manifest in the flesh, he rose from the dead. He's coming again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Call upon today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.